This is Marketplace from APM. I'm David Gura.
I want you to take a moment to think about something you probably never think about or rarely think about. The high five. Think about when you use it, how often you use it, how many people use it, all over the world. Well, the filmmaker Michael Jacobs wondered where it came from, and he's made a short film about it for Grantland, for ESPN. And I asked him how the first high five came about. It was October 2nd, 1977, at Dodger Stadium.
It was the final game of the regular season, and three players on the Dodgers had hit 30 home runs, and Dusty Baker was sitting on 29. And it was his last at-bat of the regular season, and there was a lot of tension as to whether or not he was going to hit that 30th home run. And he got up there, and he smacked one out of the park. And as Baker was rounding the bases, a young rookie came out and just spontaneously threw his hand up in the air and slapped Baker five.
You interview the journalist John Mualim, and he says that high five by Glenn Burke just came out of him. Just describe for me what it looked like.
Sure. I mean, you know, most people refer to Glenn Burke as sort of a guy who could high five you just by looking at you. This was a guy with was so full of life and so full of enthusiasm, and, you know, was somebody that that the team really loved. And when he came out and did that high five, you know, sports writers who were there that day wrote about it right away because they said it was just such a moment and it was just such an energy in that stadium and in that time. And they had never seen anything like it before. And so from there, the Dodgers sort of rallied around the high five, and they even trademarked it. And it became a part of their rallying cry for the postseason and the following, you know, 2 years into 1980 and 81.
Wait a sec. They trademarked the high five?
They did. They did. They actually went ahead and registered a trademark for the high five and made these flyers that they handed out for spring training in the 1980 season.
Any idea what happened to that trademark?
I think what happened was they rode the high five wave for 2 or 3 years there. And then, you know, the next wave came in and it was something different. They just moved on. And it was a less important part of their rallying cry.
Glenn Burke has this larger-than-life personality. He's also just huge as well, and had this sort of cult following. People loved him. What did this gesture, what did this high five mean for him, for his career?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about Glenn, of course, was that soon after that high five, you know, celebrated around the world and was spreading into other teams in baseball and really throughout the sports world, he soon found himself out of favor in the Dodgers organization amidst rumors of his sexual orientation. And this was a guy who was very comfortable in his own skin. He was comfortable with who he was. And because of that, he was put in some pretty uncomfortable positions, and he found himself traded up to Oakland, and then within a year facing a lot of pressure and scrutiny about these swirling rumors of his sexual orientation, was forced out of the game.
And not even 2 decades after he gave that first high five, he ends up contracting HIV.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he died too early. But what's, you know, great is that he left this incredible legacy behind, and you know, part of our story here is to just celebrate that legacy of this player and this person who meant a lot to a lot of people. And really the high five gives us an opportunity to share his story and to celebrate his legacy in that way.
Mike Jacobs is the director of The High Five. That's one of Grantland's 30 for 30 shorts. Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, David.